Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're Maseches Psachim Daf Lamed Aleph. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah at the bottom of Daf Lamed Amud Beis stated, Nachru Shehuvas Yisrael Chametzo Achra Pesach Muta Bahana. A Nachru lent a Jew money before Pesach with the Jew's chametz as a security. If the Jew defaulted on the loan, the Jew's chametz is Mutter Bahana. Rashi explains that since the chametz is deposited by the Nachri and he doesn't need to take any further action in order to gain possession of it, we consider that he takes possession of the chametz retroactively from the time it was deposited with him. So related to this, the Gemara introduces the Malchus regarding a creditor who holds a mortgage on a borrower's property. Abai said, Bal chov l'mafreyahu gove. If the borrower defaults on the debt, the Bal chov collects the property retroactively. Whereas Rava said, Makanu l'abahu gove. He collects the property only from here on. The Gemara clarifies that they argue in a case where the Bal chov either sold or was makdish the property before the loan came due. Abai holds that once the borrower defaulted, it emerges retroactively with Mafreya, that the property was in the lender's possession all along. Rava holds that since, had the borrower had money, he could have evicted the lender, it emerges only now when he defaults on the loan that the lender acquires it. Point number two, the Gemara brings up Raisa regarding a Jew who lent a Nachri money before Pesach with the Nachri's chametz as a security. The Tanakhama says that after Pesach, if the Nachri defaults on the loan, the chametz is mutter bahana. It was said in the name of Rabbi Meir that one transgresses if he benefits from the chametz. The Gemara determines the Malchokas regarding a rule taught by Rabbi Yitzchak who says, Manayim l'bal chov shekona mashkam. From where is it derived that a creditor acquires the security that was deposited by him? For it's stated regarding a creditor who returns the night clothes of a poor Jew as security for a loan at night, l'chad tiyad tzedakah, and for you it will be considered tzedakah. Now, if the lender doesn't acquire the security, on what basis is it considered tzedakah? From here, then, it's derived that a creditor acquires a security. The Tanakhama holds this rule applies only when one Jew takes a security from another Jew, but that's when it's considered tzedakah. Rabbi Meir applies a Kal Vachomer and holds that if a Jew acquires a security from a Jew, then all the more so he acquires the security from a Nachri. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, Chametz shenafla mapolas harihu kemavor. Chametz upon which a ruin has collapsed is considered removed from the owner's possession, and he does not transgress bal yiraya. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Kol she'ein hakelev yachol chapes acharav. One may regard this chametz as removed only if it's so deeply buried that a dog is unable to search after it and unearth it. The Gemara clarifies that it must be buried to at least three tefachim so the dog cannot sniff it, whereas safeguarding money only requires a tefach covering so that it's concealed from the eyes of a thief. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The Mishnah at the bottom, Daf Lamed Amud Beis stated, Nachri shehu v'yisrael al chametzo achar pesach, Mutabahana, a Nachri who lent a Jew money before Pesach with the Jew's chametz as a security. If the Jew defaulted on the loan, the Jew's chametz is Mutabahana. Rashi explains that since the chametz is deposited by the Nachri and he doesn't need to take any further action in order to gain possession of it, we consider that he takes possession of the chametz retroactively from the time it was deposited with him. Now, related to this, Gemara introduces a machlokes regarding a creditor who holds a mortgage on a borrower's property. Abai said, Bal chov mafreyahu gove. If the borrower defaults on the debt, the Bal chov collects the property retroactively, whereas Rava said, Makanu l'abahu gove. He collects the property only from here on. The Gemara clarifies that they argue in a case where the Bal chov either sold or was makdish the property before the loan came due. Abai holds that once the borrower defaulted, it emerges retroactively l'mafreya that the property was in the lender's possession all along. Rava holds that since, had the borrower had money, he could have evicted the lender, it emerges only now, when he defaults on the loan, that the lender acquires it. Point number two, the Gemara brings up rights regarding a Jew who lent Nachri money before Pesach with the Nachri's chametz as a security. The Tanakhama says that after Pesach, if the Nachri defaults on the loan, the chametz is mutter bahana. It was said in the name of Rabbi Meir that one transgresses if he benefits from the chametz. And the Gemara determines that the Machlokes is regarding a rule taught by Rabbi Yitzchak, who said, Manayim l'bal chov shekona mashkan. From where does it derive that a creditor acquires the security that was deposited by him? For it's stated regarding a creditor who returns the night clothes of a poor Jew as a security for a loan at night, l'chad tiyad tzedakah, and for you it will be considered tzedakah. Now, if the lender doesn't acquire the security, on what basis is it considered tzedakah? From here, then, it's derived that a creditor acquires the security. The Tanakhama holds this rule applies only when one Jew takes a security from another Jew, for that's when it's considered tzedakah. Rav Meir applies, the Kal Vachomer holds that if a Jew acquires that security from a Jew, then all the more so he acquires the security from a Nachri. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, Chametz shenafla mapolas harihu kemavor. Chametz upon which a ruin has collapsed is considered removed from the owner's possession, and he doesn't transgress the Bal Yerah. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Kol she'ena kelev yachol chapes acharav. One may regard this chametz as removed only if it is so deeply buried that a dog is unable to search after it and unearth it. The Gemara clarifies that it must be buried to at least 3 tefachim so the dog can't sniff it, whereas safeguarding money only requires a tefach covering so that it's concealed from the eyes of a thief. All right, so now we go to our simon for Daf Lamed Aleph, and our standard simon is the law, but we use a judge because he's associated to the law. So we use a judge. So here goes. The judge's courtroom was packed with defaulting debtors who claim their creditors used their security deposits retroactively, including one man in his pajamas who came with his dog that could sniff chametz buried up to 3 tefachim deep. Once again, in slow motion. The judge's courtroom. Judge, that must be one Daf Lamed Aleph, the law. The judge's courtroom was packed with defaulting debtors who claim their creditors used their security deposits retroactively. Which reminds, the Gemara introduced some halachos regarding a creditor who holds a mortgage on a borrower's property. Abai said, Bal chov l'mafrehu gove, if the borrower defaults on the debt, the Bal chov collects the property retroactively. Whereas Rava said, Mekana l'abahu gove, he collects the property only from here on. The Gemara clarifies that they argue in a case where the Bal chov either sold or was makdish the property before the loan came due. So the judge's courtroom was packed with defaulting debtors who claim their creditors used their security deposits retroactively, including one man in his pajamas, which reminds us of the rule taught by Rabbi Yitzhak, who said that we derive that a creditor acquires the security that was deposited by him from what's stated in the pasuk regarding a creditor who returns the night clothes of a poor Jew as security for a loan at night. And for you, it will be considered tzedakah. Now, if the lender does not acquire the security, on what basis is it considered tzedakah? From here, then, it's derived that a creditor acquires the security. This is the basis of Malchus between the Tanakhim and Mer, whether a Jew acquires the security of a Nachri as well. So the judge's courtroom was packed with defaulting debtors who claim their creditors used their security deposits retroactively, including one man in his pajamas who came with his dog that could sniff chametz buried up to 3 tefachim deep. Which reminds us that ruin fell on chametz when Shimon Gamliel holds that if it's buried 3 tefachim deep so that a dog can search after it and find it, then it's considered removed from the owner's possession and he's not over on Bal Yireh. So once again, the judge's courtroom was packed with defaulting debtors who claimed their creditors used their security deposits retroactively, including one man in his pajamas who came with his dog that could sniff chametz buried up to 3 tefachim deep. All right, now it's time for a 4-blah-bach chazara. Daf Chav Zayin. So the simmer Daf Chav Zayin is a kazoo. The agitated father who had enough of the buzzing sound tried to burn his son's kazoo. Kazoo? That must be one Daf Chav Zayin. The agitated father who had enough of the buzzing sound tried to burn his son's kazoo on flickering coals, which reminds us, have one cooked bread over the coals of forbidden substances, such as Klai Karim straw. All agreed that the bread is permitted to be eaten. There are two different opinions given, one in the name of Shmuel and one in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. One said the brides only referred to smoldering coals, but loaves baked over flickering coals are forbidden according to Rabbi, who holds Shvach Eitzim Bepas. The improvement of the wood is contained in the bread. If the coals are still flickering, then the fuel is not considered completely burnt up and it's still forbidden. The other one said even loaves baked over flickering coals are permitted according to everyone. According to this opinion, Rebbe would forbid the bread when the flame is opposite it during the baking, since the heat is still emanating from intact wood. So the agitated father who had enough of the buzzing sound tried to burn his son's kazoo on flickering coals from hektish wood consecrated to purchase shlami. Which reminds us, Rav Chisa was asked what the luck is according to the Rabbanu who permit bread that was baked with klai akerem or atzei orla in a case of an oven that one fired up with hektish wood and then one baked bread in it. He ruled that the bread baked in it is forbidden. Rav Papa explained that the hektish wood does not become chulin through an act of me'ila because this was a case where the wood was consecrated for the purchase of shlamim, which is invested with the equivalent kedusha of a shlamim. And Rav Chisa was asked what the halacha was according to the view of Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that shlamim are not subject to me'ila and do not become chulin. So the agitated father who had enough of the buzzing sound tried to burn his son's kazoo on flickering coals from hektish wood consecrated to purchase shlamim, because he followed the opinion of those that hold kazoos only stop working when they're burned in a fire. Which reminds us that Rabbi Yehuda attempted to prove his view that chametz must be burned in fire by bringing a kal v'chomer from Noser. If Noser, which is not subject to the prohibitions of Bal Yira or Bal Yematzah, yet requires elimination through burning, then chametz, which is subject to those prohibitions, kal v'chomer should require elimination through burning. The Chachamim countered called din shatadant chilasu lahachmir, the sofa lahakel eno din, any kal v'chomer that is initially advanced to apply stringency, but whose end result is a leniency, is not valid. According to this kal v'chomer, if one cannot find wood to burn the chametz, there'd be a leniency. They just have to do the mitzvah of tashbisu. Therefore, it's not a correct kal v'chomer. Daf Chav Ches, the simmer Daf Chav Ches is a strong man. The strong man, that must be one Daf Chav Ches. The strong man showing off his strength by crumbling chametz in one hand while grinding avodah zorah in the other, which reminds us that the Chami disagreed with Rabbi Yehuda regarding burning chametz and stated, "Mafar avodah zorah l'ruach umatu l'yam." He crumbles the chametz and scatters it to the wind or casts it into the sea. And the Gemara inquired if that means the chametz must be crumbled whether it's thrown into the wind or cast into the sea, or means they must crumble it to scatter it to the wind, but he may cast it into the sea intact. An apparel inquiry was made regarding a mission that discusses destroying avodah zorah using similar language. Rabbi holds that the avodah zorah being thrown into the Yam HaMelech doesn't require grinding, but chametz thrown into the rivers does. Rav Yosef says the opposite. The avodah zorah, which doesn't dissolve, requires grinding, but chametz that does dissolve does not require crumbling. So the strong man showing off his strength by crumbling chametz in one hand while grinding avodah zorah in the other was embarrassed when he was told that the chametz belonged to a nachri, which reminds us that the next Mishnah states, chametz shel nachri she'avar lav pesach mutar b'hana. Chametz belonging to a nachri after Pesach has passed is mutar b'hana, while Yisrael asr b'hana, but chametz that belonged to a Jew over Pesach is asr b'hana, she'ne'amar lo yarocha sa'or, as it says, leaven shall not be seen to. Rashi cites the Gemara's conclusion that the pasuk cite as the reason for the ruling, meaning that the Jew's chametz is forbidden because he's penalized after having transgressed the prohibition against having it in his possession over Pesach. So the strong man showing off his strength by crumbling chametz in one hand while grinding avodah zorah in the other was embarrassed when he was told that the chametz belonged to a nachri and that he better relearn the three shitas regarding the iser chametz. Which reminds us that it's a three-way machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Yossi HaGlili regarding when chametz is aser and what one is liable for. Dav Chavtes. So the simmer Dav Chavtes is a kot. The chametz enthusiast who kept nachri chametz under his kot. Kot? That must be more Dav Chavtes. The chametz enthusiast who kept nachri chametz under his kot, which reminds us, Rav Acher ben Yaakov said that the Mishnah Dav Chavtes Amud Aleph reflected the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Yelech sor dechil mesor deriyah, and he derives a prohibition of leaven regarding eating from the prohibition of leaven regarding seeing, meaning that just as one is restricted from seeing his chametz, but he may see the chametz of Nachum and Hekdesh, so too only your leaven you may not eat, but one may eat that of Nachum and Hekdesh. In fact, continues Rav Acher ben Yaakov, the Mishnah should have stated that Nachri's chametz is permitted to be eaten during Pesach, but since it stated that Jew's chametz is aser b'hana after Pesach, it contrasted it with the Nachri's chametz that is mutter b'hana after Pesach. The Gemara later proves that Rav Acher ben Yaakov retracted his understanding of Rav Yehuda's position. So the chametz enthusiast who kept nachri chametz under his cot and hekdesh chametz in the closet, which reminds the Gemara brought up Raisa that said, "Ochel chametz shel hekdesh b'moed ma'al." One who eats chametz of hekdesh during Pesach has committed me'ilah. V'yesh omrim lo ma'al, and there are those that say that he has not committed me'ilah. And one of the five interpretations of the Raisa is brought by Rav Acher bar Rava, who explained in the name of Rav Yosef the Malchokis regarding b'davar hagorm l'mamun k'mamun dami, whether something can lead to a benefit of money, it's treated as though it's money now. The one who says the one who eats the chametz has committed me'ilah holds that it's treated as money now, since the chametz of hekdesh can be eaten after Pesach and therefore has value. And the Yeshomim holds davar gorm l'mamun rav k'mamun dami, that something that can lead to a benefit of money is not treated as though it's money now. Therefore, the person did not commit an act of me'ilah on something of value. So the chametz enthusiast who kept nechri chametz under his cot and hekdesh chametz in the closet could even discern a mashu of chametz in a mixture that did not impart taste. Which reminds us, the Gemara presents the opinions of Rav Shmuel and Rav Yochanan regarding the halachas of mixtures containing chametz. Daf Lamed. So the Simmer Daf Lamed is a Malamed, is a Rebbe, is a teacher. So here goes. The Rebbe, that must be more on Daf Lamed for Malamed. The Rebbe had his class volunteer to smash anyone's earthenware pots before Pesach for free. Which reminds us that it's Malchokas Rav and Shmuel whether earthenware pots used for chametz before Pesach need to be broken. Rav says they do, as he rules like Rabbi Yehuda, the chametz after Pesach is asur b'hana, and that such leftover chametz will forbid a mixture of similar kind, and although it will be a case of nos and tum of gum, it will impart a rancid flavor. Rav holds that it's still asur. And Shmuel says they do not need to be broken, as he rules like Rabbi Shimon, who holds that mixtures after Pesach are permitted after Pesach. So the Rebbe had his class volunteer to smash anyone's earthenware pots before Pesach for free, as people wait in line to have their ovens fired up, which reminds us we may not need dough with milk, and if one did so, the entire bread made from that dough is forbidden, since it might lead to sin, meaning that one may come to eat it with meat. Similarly, we may not grease an oven with the fatty tail of a sheep, and if one did so, the entire bread in the oven is forbidden until one fires up the oven to burn away the fat. This implies that if the oven is fired up, the bread baked in it subsequently is permitted because the meat flavors in the oven are purged through the firing. So the Rebbe had his class volunteer to smash anyone's earthenware pots before Pesach for free, as people wait in line to have their ovens fired up and to do Hagdolas Kelim. Which reminds us that the Gemara discusses the kushering of kalim, such as knives, wooden spoons, earthenware vessels, and that kalim used with chametz while it's cold can be used for matzah on Pesach. All right, now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos, Shabbos, and Erevin. Number 1. Which daf do you learn that the source of the Baal Kov takes possession of the security in his possession is from the Pasuk Ulcha Tiyatztaka? That's on daf Lamed Aleph. Good. Number 2. Which daf do you learn that the fact that one must give up his life rather than commit murder is based on the Svorah of whose blood is redder? That's on daf Chaf Hey. Good. Number 3. Which daf do you learn Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds that if chametz is buried so deep that a dog can't find it, then the owner is not over on Baal Yira'eh? That's on daf Lamed Aleph. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we have a three-way machlokes regarding a mixture containing chametz? That's on daf Chaf Tes. Good. Number 5. Which daf do we have machlokes for Bigaz and the Rabban whether a new oven fired up with a forbidden substance needs to be destroyed or not? That's on daf Chav Vav. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we discuss kasher and kain for Pesach, such as knives and wooden spoons? That's on daf Lamed. Good. Number 7. Which of the when the Rav Acha B'Yaakov initially said the Rabbi Yehuda held that one could eat a Nachri's chametz on Pesach, but then he retracted? That's on daf Chav Tes. Good. Number 8. Which of the when that an oven greased with the fatty tail of a sheep, if it's fired up, the bread baked in it subsequently is permitted because the meat flavors in the oven are purged out of it? That's on daf Lamed. Good. Number 9. Which of the Malkos regarding crumbling chametz versus crumbling Avodah Zorah when being thrown into the water? That's on daf Chav Ches. Good. And number 10, which daf of Malkok is Rav and Shmuel, whether pots used for chametz before Pesach need to be broken? That's on daf Lamed. Good. Now the 3 bonus questions. Number 1, which daf do we discuss spinning wool off an animal's back? That's on daf Ein Dalet and Shabbos. Good. Number 2, which daf do we learn that a mother has in mind to include the child in the Erev? That's on daf Hey, Beis and Erevin. Good. And number 3, which daf do we discuss? Birchas Alchama. That's on daf Nun Tes and Brachas. Excellent. All right, that concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.